This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
How about a 2-0 start for the Big 12 to kick off bowl season on Saturday? Welcome in. I'm Pete Mundo. Heartland College Sports is where you can follow us. We cover the Big 12 Conference. We've been doing this for over a decade. And thank you for joining us on the YouTube show and also on the podcast. So it was a great start to bowl season for the Big 12. We'll get to that, what's going on the rest of bowl season, and much more on the show. If you're new, please make sure you're subscribed. I'm biased when I say this, but nobody covers the Big 12 and all these teams better than we do at heartlandcollegesports.com. Thanks for being here. Make sure that you are also dropping a 5-star rating and review on the podcast. So let's start with BYU's Pop-Tarts Bowl win over Georgia Tech. This is one of the premier bowl games that is not a college football playoff game. And for BYU and the Big 12, this was critically important. This was a team that, for many of us, thought should have been in the college football playoff. They had the two losses to Texas Tech. That was it. They were taking on a good ACC team, a top 25 team in Georgia Tech, that just couldn't make the ACC championship game because of tiebreakers and things of that nature. But they were supposed to play Notre Dame. And then, of course, the Irish backed out of the postseason. So now they've got Georgia Tech. And if BYU had not won this game, the narrative would have been, see, we told you so. Now, here's the deal. BYU was without its best offensive player in LJ Martin and its best defensive player in Jack Kelly. They both didn't play due to injuries. And the fact that BYU, down 21-10 in the second half, is able to storm back, mostly in the fourth quarter, and win this game 25-21 over the Yellow Jackets is a testament to the program and the depth that Kalani Sitake has built over the last several years in this transition to the Big 12 Conference. And that is what has been so impressive and was so impressive on Saturday to watch. You look at this game, I mean, Bear Bachmeier, first off, was not running the ball all over the place. Had what, maybe one or two carries? He was a pocket passer. He was effective doing that as well in the process. 27 to 38, 325 yards. And when his team needed it in that second half, he was outstanding. And he showed high-end leadership qualities throughout the entire second half in particular. For a true freshman, this guy did not get nearly enough love and nearly enough attention as a true freshman this past season. But for the casual college football fan that was watching BYU play Georgia Tech and was looking for some Pop-Tarts action on Saturday, they were probably like, wow, this guy number 47 is quite a player. Yeah, he is. And if you watched any BYU this season, you would have known that. BYU did not have, of course, LJ Martin in the backfield, first team all Big 12 guy. They were okay. But you know what? Down near the goal line, when they needed touchdowns, they didn't turn it over to Bear Bachmeier to run it in, which they had done a lot of the season. They turned to some of those backups in the backfield, and it worked out well for them. And then you had those security blankets, Carson Ryan with a huge game, Parker Kingston, Chase Roberts, two of those three expected to be gone. But this was just a well-rounded effort where guys that had to step up did step up on behalf of BYU. And I thought overall, they played a very good game. They kept Haynes King in check. Now, of course, Georgia Tech had a chance at the end of the game to win it, and then Evan Johnson picked them off for basically the game-sealing interception and win. And it was everything you would want to see if you're a BYU fan and if you're a Big 12 fan. And that is a good, solid, convincing win against a high-end, top 25 ACC team. The Big 12 had performed very well against the ACC to this point this season, and this was a critical game for Big 12 perception, for BYU perception, and for how this program might be viewed going in to next season. And that's what really this is all about. BYU continuing to stack up wins brick by brick and prove that this is a team and a program that has the ability to compete at the highest levels in college football. And a loss would have been a big setback on this front. So that's what makes that game so critical for BYU and so important for the Big 12 as well, by and large. Get the Power 4 win, move on, get ready for next season, and know that you've got a good look at quarterback in particular in Bear Bachmeyer. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Let's talk about the Texas Bowl now, with Houston digging themselves a 14-0 hole and coming back to beat LSU 38-35. So early on, LSU kick return touchdown, then they storm down the field for a touchdown, and you're like, oh no, we've seen this script. We watched LSU beat Baylor last year in this very game, and the Big 12 had played well in the Texas Bowl. They had won three in a row before last season, and I'm watching this and I'm like, this is going to be a disaster. Not just for Houston, but this is going to be a disaster for the Big 12, and I'll explain why. Had Houston lost to LSU, the narrative would have been an LSU team that fires its head coach and goes 7-5, and a lot of its top defensive players aren't playing, beats a team that was in contention to get to the Big 12 championship and went 9-3. And people would have seen and said, see, the SEC is king. But thankfully, Houston did not allow that to happen. Thankfully, Houston woke up, scored 21 unanswered to end the first half, got that big touchdown right before halftime to go up 21-14, and then puts together a couple of good touchdown drives in the second half, goes up 10 points, allows LSU to score a touchdown there at the end, give them a little bit of a chance. But the Cougars get the 38-35 win. They were 1.5-point favorites in this game as well. So they cover the spread. They get a win over LSU, and they needed that. The Big 12 could not have afforded the narrative of a 7-5 team that fired a coach and was playing with a backup quarterback beat a team in Big 12 contention. They could not have afforded this loss to LSU. And thankfully, Houston avoided that narrative from being a thing. But it's not one of those things that I was not thinking about as I was watching this game on Saturday, saying to myself, please, please do not allow the SEC fanboy to go down that road and make that case. And thankfully, it did not happen because Houston won the game. But Houston, Connor Wigman was really good. And we saw him obviously utilize his legs, dual threat guy. He's much better when he's using those legs, which we saw throughout the season, by the way. I mean, you watch Houston football this year, and once Wigman became a dual threat guy, this team got better and better and better. And you saw that again with 13 carries for 56 yards on Saturday night in Houston for the Texas Bowl. Dean Connors had himself a big touchdown run. He was great, as he's been all season for this team. And then you just had a good balance of Wigman utilizing his targets on the outside, throwing four touchdowns, no interceptions, efficient 27-36, 236 yards, and it was great to watch. And you saw a Houston defense bottle up LSU on the ground. Houston won this game in the trenches. That's where they won it. Michael Van Buren was supposed to be more of a dual threat guy. He really wasn't. He ran for 24 yards on 11 carries. As a team, LSU was held to 77 rushing yards on 24 carries, 3.2 yards a carry. And Houston racked up 7 tackles for loss and 4 sacks. LSU had 0 sacks on the night against Wigman and this Houston offense. So all in all, you've got right now a Houston team that was the better team and frankly probably should have won by more had they not had some early, in particular, critical special teams mistakes. This Houston team was better in every facet on Saturday night. And thankfully, they were able to get a win and get the Big 12 a win over the SEC in the process as well, which I know that these bowl games do not have the juice that they had even a few years ago with the portal and opt-outs and things of that nature. I understand that. But it's all we've got. We don't get a lot of these opportunities because of how these schedules are set years and years in advance. So when you get an opportunity, LSU, Houston, SEC, Big 12, you play the game, you take it for what it's worth. You do put it into some perspective, but still, it ends up being, I think, a good moment for the league to put itself up against a team that still has a tremendous amount of talent on it, even if some of their top players were not playing in this one on Saturday night. Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Make sure that you are subscribed here to the show.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
So let's talk about what now success looks like for the Big 12 in these bowl games going forward. The Big 12 right now is 2-0. Houston wins, BYU wins, right? So what's left? There are six games remaining. The Big 12 is only favored in two of those remaining six games. The Big 12 is favored in Utah versus Nebraska. The Utes are 14-point favorites. And they're favored in Arizona versus SMU. Arizona's a 3-point favorite. They are underdogs in Cincinnati Navy by 7, Texas Tech, Oregon by 2.5. That's the playoff game. Duke, Arizona State, Duke's favored by 3. And USC, TCU, USC is favored by 6.5. So as you look at the rest of the Big 12 bowl game schedule, the Big 12's 2-0. They've got 8 total bowl games. They're favored in 2. At the very least, if you're the Big 12, you got to win 2 of those 4 or 2 of those 6 to go 4-4 overall. Success to me, and maybe I'm shooting too high, but as a Big 12 guy, success to me is 6-2. That means 4-2 in these 6 games. That means 2 underdogs have to pull off victories. Please make sure you're subscribed here to the channel if you're a Big 12 fan on Heartland College Sports. Thanks for doing it, as always, and being a part of the show. But that's success to me. Now you're like, okay, what are the most likely upsets here? Well, I've been on Texas Tech against Oregon for a long time now. I do like them a lot. All right. I look elsewhere and I'm like, okay, they're a 3-point favorite against Duke. Arizona State is. TCU, 6.5-point dog against USC. You've got opt-outs across the board there. I don't think TCU's getting enough love. And then I know that Cincinnati doesn't have Sorsby, but going up against Navy, who I know, I understand you're going to look at Navy and you're going to say, okay, well, look at this team. They're 10-2. Yeah, it's not exactly murderer's row of schedules here. They lost to North Texas, and they lost to Notre Dame 49-10. So I think Navy, even though Cincinnati does not have its star quarterback who's in the portal, I still believe that Cincinnati should be getting some more love in that game as a 7-point underdog than they're currently getting. So there are multiple opportunities. I'll feel great about 6-2 in these bowl games with their 2-0 start. I will feel okay about 5-3, although I'll put a caveat on that. If they go 5-3 in these 8 bowl games, one of them is Texas Tech, and then Tech wins another game to get to the college football playoff championship, I'll feel great about it because a lot of this too hinges on what Texas Tech does. Let's say the Big 12 goes 7-1 in their bowl games and Texas Tech loses to Oregon. That's actually not a good bowl season. It's not, because they've got to start winning college football playoff games for the reputation of the conference. So there is some nuance here in terms of how we're describing this record. I would take 5-3 with Texas Tech getting to a championship over 7-1 with Texas Tech losing to Oregon in the quarterfinals. You on board with me in terms of what that would mean for the Big 12 conference when it comes to public perception in the college football playoff? I believe it's critical that Texas Tech makes a solid run here and does some damage in this playoff. So that's where I think we're at right now in terms of what this all means going forward. But the Big 12 got off to a great start. It does have opportunity moving forward. And I'm expecting an underratedly strong bowl performance. We saw some of that on Saturday. I saw a lot of people on LSU just figuring talent wins out. And I saw a lot of people riding Georgia Tech and saying, see, Notre Dame would have steamrolled BYU. BYU's got nothing. And then by the end of the game, they're all dead silent. So I believe you'll see more of that. There will be an upset or two along the way for the Big 12. But so much of the success will also hinge on what Texas Tech ends up doing in the postseason. Is Kyle Whittingham the enemy right now of the Big 12? Not just Utah, not just BYU, but the Big 12. I'm Pete Mundo. Thanks for joining us on Heartland College Sports. Appreciate you being here. As always, as a part of the show, make sure that you are subscribed. So Kyle Whittingham is now the head coach at Michigan. And as you may have seen, he is locked in on Jay Hill, the BYU defensive coordinator, who is expected to join him and go to Michigan as the same defensive coordinator position he's got right now at BYU. He's going to transfer over to Michigan for that same role. It looks like he's also targeting his old offensive coordinator, Jason Beck, the Utah OC, for that same role at Michigan. Kyle Whittingham may be rating some of the best coordinators and potentially position coaches in the entire Big 12. And while I understand he clearly is upset with how this thing ended at Utah, he clearly feels like he was forced into the R word, that's retirement. And now, I don't think it's just about sticking it to Utah or BYU or the Big 12 by and large. I think he's also in a position right now where this is what he knows. These are the guys that he knows. He knows Beck. He knows Jay Hill from an earlier time. Jay Hill played or worked, I should say, under Urban Meyer and then Kyle Whittingham for the first 10, 11, 12 years of his career. So these are the guys that he knows, but these are major blows to the Big 12 as well. And frankly, I don't think Kyle Whittingham cares. He referenced some of this I saw in the press conference on Sunday, and I want to pull up the exact quote here because I think it's important to have the context with this when you see what exactly Kyle Whittingham said about his time at Utah. He said, I made a mistake at Utah. They started asking me about retirement, and I started answering questions and giving my own thing. I don't think I'm that old. I'm 66, but it's not that old. I feel like I've got enough energy and juice to see this thing through, meaning 5 years. Well, good for him. He is allowed to feel that way. And he's in great shape. He looks to be in tremendous health for 66. I'm not saying that's not true. But he screwed up. He clearly was thinking about retirement. I don't think that Utah would have just said to Kyle Whittingham, listen, dude, you're done after 21 years. I mean, Morgan Scali was named the coach in waiting 18 months ago, which means this conversation had been going on for months prior to that. Now, was Kyle Whittingham in a different mindset 2 years ago than maybe he is today? Can 21 years at a place maybe wear you down? Does he have a new lease on his professional life, at least, not his life, but his professional life, new energy at 66, taking over a blue blood like Michigan? Absolutely. I'm sure that that's just natural. It's human nature to feel that way. But man, is he screwing the Big 12 in the process. And the money, the $2+ million that he can offer coordinators is obviously money that most Big 12 schools are not going to be dishing out for an offensive or a defensive coordinator. Michigan has that money. I will say I find it amazing that so many fan bases knock the Big 12, especially Big 10 and SEC fan bases, Big Ten and SEC fan bases knock the Big 12 all the time, right? But then they're raiding the league for head coaches, Matt Campbell to Penn State, Kenny Dillingham getting looked at for Michigan, Kyle Whittingham goes to Michigan, coordinators left and right going to the SEC, going to the Big Ten, and suddenly these fan bases aren't saying a peep about the Big 12. There's no commentary on, well, I'm not sure about the Big 12 being a good enough conference. They're on cloud nine. They love these guys. So which one is it, SEC Big Ten fanboys? Do you respect the Big 12 or do you not? Because if you don't, like you claim you don't, you shouldn't be happy when your fan base or your team is poaching a Big 12 head coach or Big 12 coordinators. You can't have it both ways, guys. You just can't. So we do need to have that conversation here, whether it's Michigan, whether it's Penn State, where now some of the blue blood Big Ten teams have Big 12 guys and will have Big 12 coaches all over their staffs. And people are going to say the Big 12 doesn't have the guys to win big time. What the Big 12 really needs right now is obviously more investment into the programs. Utah's doing that with the private equity money, but the TV deals are just not the same, obviously, right? You have TV deals in the Big Ten and the SEC that are just worth tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars a year more than they are in the Big 12 and the ACC right now. So that's a big difference when it comes to what you can pay an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator. And it's just a reality of the situation right now in the sport. And it's something that, you know, the Big 12 is going to have to figure out a way to keep up and be creative. And I think that Brett Yormark is doing that. And I believe he's the right guy to lead this conference on that front, as I've talked about for, you know, as long as he's been the guy in charge of the league. But listen, Kyle Whittingham is going to town with some of the best in the Big 12 and taking them away and potentially taking more away. And for that, I hate it for the league, and I hate what it means for the Big 12 conference as well. Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. I'm going to call it like it is, though, even if I can't stand it. Please make sure you're subscribed here to the show if you are a fan of the Big 12 or just a college football and college hoops fan. We've got all of these covered all season long, 12 months a year. We do not take any breaks. You get consistent content here on the channel and on the podcast, so make sure you are subscribed. And thank you, as always, for being a part of the show. On the basketball front, I'm sure some of you saw this story and you're wondering, what are we doing in college basketball? And it's fair to wonder. But don't blame the Big 12, because the rules are jacked up and the NCAA has no stones. Don't do it. I saw Tom Izzo called out Baylor head coach Scott Drew. And he did that because Baylor signed James Nagy. He is a 7-foot center who was picked 31st overall in the 2023 NBA draft. That's right. I'm not kidding. Yes. Baylor just signed a guy who was drafted 2.5 years ago into the NBA. Now, you know, he didn't play a ton at all. But you know what? He went 31st in the draft. And he bounced around a couple of summer leagues, traded as well, played in Europe as well, in Turkey, and then in Spain, and he's been around the block. But he's now going back to college, and he's playing for the Baylor Bears. He is 7 foot, 250 with a 7'7 wingspan. I don't like it. But this is not Scott Drew's fault. Scott Drew taking the high and mighty road of, well, I'm not going to do that. Guess what? Somebody is. The rules are in place. What he's doing is not illegal. It's not against any rules in the sport. It's terrible. It's a joke. College basketball is arguably even more broken than college football is right now. I would agree with that statement if you made it. But if you're a Baylor fan, first off, you like it. It helps your team. And any coach who's got the juice and the money to do it in this environment is probably going to do it. And I like Tom Izzo. I don't have any personal beef with Tom Izzo at all. I think he's a great Hall of Fame head coach, obviously, and he's not sanctimonious oftentimes like, say, Coach K used to be when he was coaching at Duke. But these guys are all calling out the state of the sport, and they're right to do it, but their beef then should be with the NCAA, not with Scott Drew. Scott Drew's not the villain here. The sport is the villain here. The way the NCAA has allowed itself to be run over by these leagues, by their TV partners, and ultimately then by the programs themselves has allowed this to happen. It is not on any one person. It is not on the coaches to police each other and do a little wink, wink, nod, nod. Hey, I'm not going to go after this guy if you don't type of thing. Somebody was. And as screwed up as this is, and as jacked up as this is for the sport, none of it is the fault of Baylor, and none of it is the fault of Scott Drew, because it is a sport that right now needs wholesale change and issues that have to be figured out as soon as possible. So leave Scott Drew out of it, but I understand why Tom Izzo's not a happy guy. Hopefully you're having a great end of 2025. We have had a record year on this show when it comes to new viewers, new subscribers at heartlandcollegesports.com. So please share the show with a friend. Make sure you are subscribed if you're a Big 12 fan. And we are grateful that you are here as always being a part of it. Subscribe right now on the podcast as well. Drop us a 5-star rating and review. That helps us out a lot as we put a bow on another show. I'm Pete Mundo, heartlandcollegesports.com. Have a great day.
Hey, hockey fans, can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.